Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Osmo. Here we go. It's your old pal Emac coming to you with Gundacker as we get ready for another NBA DFS strategy show for Saturday morning. We've got a nice one. 8-game slate. We've got quite a few teams on back-to-backs tonight. We had some funky outcomes last night. It seems like that's why they play the games. How are you doing today, Gundacker?
Yeah, good morning. Happy Saturday. Yeah, I still got some sleep in my eye, but I'm trying to rise and grind, and I'll probably take a cat nap later. But yeah, last night was the night of the living chalk with the Warriors. And then if you gambled correctly on Jokic, man, you probably made out. There were some really high scores last night. Hopefully tonight's a little bit more tame.
Yeah, it was funny. I ended up being on the Live Before Lock with Josh, filling in for a variety of moving parts with Eric Lindquist and Rinpak still out. And I think someone else was on vacation. So we've just been moving around, and I was laughing because I was lamenting, or not lamenting, but just saying we haven't seen some high scoring nights in a while. And in particular on DraftKings, because they've done a nice job of aggressively pricing up or putting up the salaries of some of their players. You and I talked about it on the Slate Starter with Steph Curry. This in the last 10 days has had three of his four most or highest career salaries on like ever career mm-hmm. salaries on DraftKings, which is crazy. We're seeing continually close to 10 players or more at five figures or higher. We're seeing multiple people above 12,000. But on a night like last night, when the chalk hit, when some of the chalk hits,
right,
you get the right guys in your lineup, it works out well, because we obviously there were clear question marks. If you didn't play the correct Golden State guys, you got toast. The Damian Lee had like, I don't know, four or five fantasy points. Bruce Brown got hurt. LaMarcus Aldridge took forever to even sort of salvage his night. And a lot of that came down to the last 6 minutes of a very close game. Same thing with Harden. He was having a marginal game basically until the fourth quarter. So there was just a lot of moving parts out there. But if you landed on that right combination, you know, I didn't look at the bigger tournaments, but I'm sure it was 360 that took it down on DK or close to it. I know that Melissa, my nemesis, my head-to-head nemesis, she took down the Fred Van Elite fan club. I think she had like 335 points for DraftKings. So shout out to her. She won herself 30 free days because she does have that Osmo avatar. You too can win 30 free days of Osmo premium content if you use the Osmo avatar. If you win that Fred Van Elite fan club contest, that's probably your easiest way of getting there. Just $1, 75 entries, top 15 are paid out. It's 10% rake. And because I send out the invitation via the Osmo DK League, you end up with a couple people every time just accepting the invite and not going back to set their lineup. So there's usually two or three people that don't play lineups. And I'm the only one that has to play Fred VanVleet or his direct backup if he is out. So it's a gimme out there, right? Even I've won the contest so far this year. So that's an easy way to do it. Or any contest that you're in that has at least 5,000 entries on any of the DFS sites, if you finish top three, no ties, you got to be first, second, or third, or you could tie for first with two other people. You got to be top three, though. So no showdown slate ties. We'll get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content. Also, you shoot that screenshot showing that you have the Osmo avatar to Osmo underscore COM and Osmo HOF, the Osmo Hall of Fame. We'll get you on the Osmo Hall of Fame as well. It's a lot of fun there. All right, let's get into it. We are, of course, sponsored by Yahoo today. We'll talk a little bit about them. We'll talk about their pricings. We do have free content today, of course. We have the Week 11 NFL player rankings. The NBA player rankings today are free. UFC pro plays are free. I believe it's 3 o'clock. It's either 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock start for UFC. This week, we have the NHL player projections. The NHL strategy show was just on before us. So if you're into hockey, you can check that out after our show, or come back and listen to our show if you want to catch theirs first. You've got the DFS Building Blocks article will be posted shortly. That is free in front of the paywall. You'll get the tournament leverage article from Terry, and as well as a couple more free articles in front of the paywall. Let's get going here, Gundeckos. Let's jump off on our first game. We have New Orleans at Indiana. We have Graham was out last night with the foot. This is a back-to-back and 3-4 for both teams. However, the Pacers should be pretty well rested. All of their starters were pulled after their first rotation in the third quarter. The team was down by 23 to Charlotte. The bench made a valiant effort to close it down to the wire there and almost pulled off the upset. And Carlisle said, I'm dancing with who brought me here. You starters stay on the bench. You guys would not know that if you did not look at a game flow box score. You would just wonder, wow, why didn't the starters play more than 23 minutes if the game was this close? Well, it's because they got a little wake-up call there. We also have the New Orleans was on their back-to-back last night as well. Their key players played a lot of minutes. We'll have to see what happens with Graham. It's good to see Ingram back and playing, recovering from that hip injury. He had missed just over 2 weeks, I believe, but I think he'll be good to go on the back-to-back. Take this one away for us, Gundacker.
Yeah, so if Devontae Graham doesn't go here, what we saw yesterday was Tomas Satoransky drew the start, 25 minutes, but just a 10% usage rate for him. It was basically the Brandon Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas show in terms of usage. And then Josh Hart slow burned, but he exploded in the second half for a massive day, ended up being a really solid play on FanDuel. So something to watch there. Last night was a weird game for the Pacers. For people who like stats, man, Jeremy Lamb had one of the more incredible stat lines in just 16 minutes of play. He was plus 21, 23 points, 5 assists, 3 boards, and 4 stocks for 44.25 DKP in 16 minutes. I mean, it was like Boban-esque out there. But yeah, these are two losing teams right now. And I think, you know, if you're a basketball fan, you probably expect a little bit more out of the Pacers than the Pelicans so far. So depending on how the injury news shakes out here, I think you can run back a lot of what you saw last night on the Pelicans with Brandon Ingram, with Jonas Valanciunas. Jonas Valanciunas is only 8K on FanDuel. There was some concerns about how his points per minute performance or even his overall performance per game from a fantasy standpoint would be impacted with Brandon Ingram. But as you saw yesterday, he still had plenty of upside. So you're going to give him 30 plus minutes. I think JVal still really fine for 40, 50 fantasy points. So I really like that FanDuel price. I can still get there on DK. And on the Pacer side here, it does feel like Carlisle is going to make a change soon, but I really don't know who would get the axe here and shake this lineup up for the Pacers side. So until further notice, I'm going to trust what I know. And I think Malcolm Brogdon at 8,200 against a plus matchup Pelicans backcourt, I think is something that I can be intrigued with for 40 plus fantasy points. Mentioned Caris LeVert game to game has sustained a 25% usage rate or better. And he's really cheap on both sides. And then Sabonis and Turner, I haven't really got there much in the last couple of days. I think the short list for me from this game is probably going to be Brogdon. And then if Devontae's out, I can get to JVal with a lot of confidence on FanDuel. And then probably Brandon Ingram. He was suffering from the hip pointer. So in the back of my mind, we'll be just kind of double checking to make sure he's not like a back-to-back concern here. But I think we should be cleared until, you know, otherwise stated. So I'm going to roll out JVal, Ingram, Brogdon, and some LeVert as my short list from this game.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where it ends. I do want to mention Jonas Valanciunas. I had that game on in the background as I was preparing some other stuff last night. So I was just listening to the announcers, and then I'd click over to my screen that had NBA TV hidden behind multiple tabs just to see what was going on. Jovel was 5 of 9 from three-point range last night. And they kept saying, oh, my God, Jovel hit another one from deep. I was like, oh, it was not really expected. But, hey, if he's going to rein those in, that is something that we can all get behind, I believe.
One of the more fun bets on Prize Picks every night is Jovel over one or over half of three all year long. He takes a couple per game, but yeah, it's usually a sweat to get one or two. But yeah, last night was different.
Yeah, the other one to look out for on the wagering side, and we'll talk about Odd Shopper a little bit later today, but Domantas Sabonis generally has been, they've been running out his assist rates for the last two seasons. He's not getting there. Now, last night wasn't really fair because he only played 23 minutes and had just one assist, but he's only gone over the four mark, I think, twice in the last 10 games. And a lot of times that line's going to be at 3.5, 4, or 4.5, depending on the opponent. Osmo's called this out on multiple shows that looking at the under on that particular wager seems like a savvy play at this point in time. So if you are in spots where you have sports betting available, you will definitely want to take a look at that. Our next game here, we've got Miami at Washington. Markieff Morris out with the neck issue. Davis Bertāns is out with his ankle issue. He hasn't played in forever. We have Bam Adebayo popping up on the injury report with a bruised knee. And then you also have Tyler Hero with a sore wrist. And then Daniel Gafford, who was out for this same matchup on Thursday, he is questionable again with his thumb injury. So in that last game, Washington lost, going from memory, I think it was like 112 to 98 or something along those lines. I'm a little surprised that Miami is only favored at this point by 1.5 points in Washington. Yes, the Wizards are much better on defense. They're almost league average at this point. They have turned over most of their squad. They also have a new coach who turned around Denver's defense when he was there as well. So Wes Unseld Jr. Is that the new Wizards coach, no longer Scotty Brooks. So they're not playing quite nearly as fast, and having Russell Westbrook out, he wasn't the complete catalyst for them playing at their frenetic pace. They did that before he was there, but he certainly took them to that next level. We're not seeing that. So this is a totally different matchup than what we've seen in years past for the Wizards. But even though they have one of the better records, I am surprised that Miami is only favored by a bucket. I would have thought this to be like 4.5. That makes me think there could be some credence to one of Hero or Adebayo sitting out. I think if both for sure were playing, that'd probably be about a 4.5 or a 5 point spread. I'm not the best at reading these spreads, but to me that just feels awfully low. And I do follow the Wizards fairly closely as the only team in my viewing area. What do you think about, do you have a feel that either one of those guys will sit out tonight? We'll know, of course, before lock, because this is one of the first two games. But just looking at that spread, does that just make you raise an eyebrow?
Yeah, I mean, I could.
You talking to me?
Okay, hold up. He definitely felt like a stronger team than the Wizards when they're healthy, at full strength here. If the Heat did have some news that maybe suggest that one is out. Hero is the guy that I'd be watching a little bit more closely. Adebayo's had a Q tag almost all season, and I've only really remembered him sitting twice. Once was a back-to-back against Memphis, and then that last one, I kind of thought Butler would be out, and Jimmy and Adebayo was in and went the other way. So, yeah, definitely news to watch there. Hero's priced over 7K on both sides, so I probably wouldn't really need to get to him unless a Lowry or Butler sat. So I don't really worry about that news, but if he were to be out, it would bolster minutes and usage and opportunity for Lowry Butler, and then some extra run for Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin. So something to watch for there. But if Adebayo's in that 8,300, 8,500 on FanDuel, DraftKings respectively, definitely has a shot at 40 plus fantasy points. So we take that. I do kind of like a JVal for 300 less on FanDuel. On that FanDuel price point. So, but I do like that Adebayo's power forward eligible. On the Wizards side, the craziest thing about that last game, even though the final box score went well to the Heat side, was the Kuzma near triple-double with 40 minutes of play. And that was the game where Dinwiddie was down. So I would hope with Dinwiddie back in the mix here, things kind of shake out to where Kuzma doesn't make me regret fading him at 7+K on FanDuel here. But Kuzma has had those errant games, those big games here and there. A lot of them are rebound intensive. And I think if Adebayo's in, I would probably take some of those rebounds back. So hopefully Adebayo can be in and life will be normal as we know it. So I would say if this game is full strength, I don't have a ton of interest on the Wizards side. I do respect the Heat defense. And then my interest would be really just in Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, even if Hero was in, but even more so if Hero was out.
All right, I see in chat they're asking, hey, who's on the deeper dive tonight? Tonight, the main analyst will be Steve DeColt's Buzzard, a millimaker winner, as well as multi-million-dollar winner across DFS. He is now doing this full-time. He also oversees all the financial operations for Osmo behind the scenes. Hey, everybody wears multiple hats here. All right, next game that we have, Oklahoma City at Boston. Both teams on a back-to-back as well as a 3-4. I am speculating that Al Horford is probably going to rest tonight. I'm looking to see and just double-check. He has only had the opportunity for three back-to-backs. He did not play in the last back-to-back. He played in the middle one, and then he didn't do the one in October. So wouldn't shock me if he gets the night off tonight, against the team that chose to pay him to not play last year. I am not really excited by anybody in either of these. If Jaylen Brown continues to be out, then I think we consider Jason Tatum. Robert Williams missed the last game with the sore knee. He's listed as questionable today. From Oklahoma City, nobody overly exciting here. Oh, it's another Dennis Schroeder remember me opportunity here. What do you like from from either of these sides? Is there much to wring out of this on our surprising 8-game Saturday slate?
I think the bulk of my interest would be contingent on Jaylen Brown being in or out. If Jaylen Brown misses another game, then I can keep getting to Jason Tatum with a decent level of confidence. I think last night was one of those high emotion games against the Lakers, right? That you're going against LeBron, the big three. So night two of a back-to-back, even though it's a 10.5-point spread, man, the Thunder might come into town and you're just playing down and you might get a little deeper minutes than you maybe expect for a double-digit spread. So if the news shook out the right way, I would be fine with near 10K Tatum on both sides. You saw last night, he has the potential and the usage to be a top four overall scorer on the slate. I think this game would be a little bit more paced down. Lakers run a much faster pace than the Thunder do. And the Thunder also have a much worse offensive efficiency here. So maybe not as many implied possessions here, but Tatum would be just fine. And then, if a Horford did take another nap here, if Robert Williams was another game and Jaylen Brown would be out, you could definitely sell me on Dennis Schroeder on both sides. And then even Marcus Smart at 5,100 on DraftKings, I think 30 plus fantasy points is well within the range of outcomes there. If I was going to run it back here with some Thunder, SGA, Lu Dort, and Giddey have been the three guys that I lean on the most. Lu Dort has really evolved offensively. He's second in the team in points per game, almost 17 points per game, double-digit shot attempts as far as the eye can see, a lot of those attempts from behind the arc. So he would be one of the catalysts in keeping this game competitive, wide range of outcomes, right? 20 to 30 plus, but 5K on DK. I do think the 30 plus could be there to maybe keep this game competitive, but I'm definitely way more on the Celtics side for the single entry and shortlist player pool. But as I elongated, I would get to the three Thunder that I named. I think Favors rested yesterday to be ready for today. So obscure value shot in the dark for 100K to first if you need to get there.
So if Favors ends up being available, what do you think happens with Jeremiah Robinson Earl? Now, he has started the last five games. He has played right around 25 to 28 minute range in four of those five. We're getting a question in chat to see if he still has any value. He's the minimum on our sponsor site, Yahoo, at 10. I think I would consider him. I'd probably, if I was playing a $10 player and it was a center, I would probably go with Hassan Whiteside. We'll talk about that in one of the later games. But if Favors is available, this, what do you think? I don't know. They're gonna, yeah, they seem to be playing the young kid, but they did that last year with a few guys. I'm totally Moses blanking Brown. On his, yeah, now he's completely an afterthought even after he got a contract
with the Mavs. Yeah, I don't think there would be no warm and fuzzies no matter what, no matter which way you sliced it here, especially on FanDuel 5100. DK, I get the curiosity. The Celtics matchup in the front court would still be contingent on news. You talked about Robert Williams missing a few, Al Horford potential rest candidate on night two of back-to-back. So if the front court lined up the right way to where maybe it was like a Grant Williams, Jason Tatum front court, like, I get it, but it's probably – there's probably going to be a better ceiling to go out there and chase.
All right. Anything else from this one?
Nah, just this is a big news game, I think, on the Celtics side. Because if Jaylen Brown's in and Horford's in, I might just step back and let this game be.
All right. Well, let's check this one out because it has the highest point total of the night. It is Charlotte at Atlanta, 226 implied point total. Charlotte underdogs by 6. You have Hunter is out for Atlanta. He had surgery or is about to have surgery on his wrist. He will be out for 2 months. On the questionable side, you've got PJ Washington for Charlotte. He hasn't played in 2 weeks with the hyperextended elbow. This is a back-to-back as well as a 3-4 for Charlotte. Last night, we saw LaMelo Ball play 39 minutes, Bridges play 34, and Hayward play 31. This is an island game for Atlanta. They last played on Wednesday. They will play again on Monday. I just bring all this up because I really, 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 really like LaMelo Ball on our sponsor site, Yahoo. He is just $40 there. He's 87 on FanDuel. I think those are both excellent prices. 10,400 on DK. We'll have to see what value shakes out. 16 teams in the player pool. Of course, there will be some. The only concern, of course, is this is his third game in three nights. Last night, I mentioned he had 39 minutes. The game before that, he had 36. He's played 36 or more in four of his last five. So clearly he can do it. He's young and all that. It's just if the game's sort of out of hand, I don't see them running, playing him deep into the fourth quarter if they're down by 15. That's where you start to lose that potential upside. And in tournaments, we have to be darn near perfect these days, and that would sort of take him out of contention there, especially on the DraftKings price. Atlanta has the third worst defensive efficiency at 109.4 points allowed per 100 possessions. They are playing at a top 10 pace. Charlotte, on the other hand, is playing at a top 5 pace, and they're allowing just one bucket less than Atlanta per 100 possessions. So the fantasy goodness is going to be here. Trae Young, also quite interesting on this. The one thing I wanted to point out for him, and then I'll let you wrap up either side of these teams. But my notes say, are you ready? I'm using the Gundacker word here. For all the hullabaloo about Young not being as good this season with the change in the perimeter foul calls, his numbers through 16 games are eerily similar to the 63 games he played last season. While he is indeed getting to the line 3.1 fewer times per game with 2.7 less free throws made, he's averaging 2.1 more field goal attempts, and he's also shooting 1% better from the field and 2% better from behind the arc, which has him at 42 fantasy points per game, Yahoo scoring. Last year, he was 42.98. So basically those extra trips to the foul line have turned into a drive and a half per game. Two of his last four games, he has had 10 foul or free throw attempts. So I think he's going to be just fine here. Last night, we even saw Harden without Durant drive to the basket a ton. He was drawing fouls there. So while these guys aren't going to get the falling into people behind the arc, three free throw attempts, they're still going to find their way to getting free throw attempts. Those are the top two guys I'm looking for. What do you think about this one, Gundacker?
Yeah, by the way, Harden got to 20 free throw attempts last night. And
saved his fantasy night. It certainly.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He looked like a fullback a few times going towards the basket.
I like this game a lot. You mentioned high total. It's going to be pace up spot. Hornets do run at a really, really fast pace, and their defense is bad as well. So I like to soak up a lot of points in this one. I love the LaMelo Ball FanDuel price point. On DraftKings, you think about it, and then you should really start thinking about that 3 and 4. But 8,700, I think the potential's there. If you are a 2021 believer in DVP, it's a really plus matchup against Trae Young. And then, you know, the minutes are going to be there as well. I got LaMelo Ball. I soft put him at 36 minutes. I got back 53 FanDuel points. I'd take that all day at 8,700. And then I love the Hawks side as well. Trae Young is somebody that does feel a little more volatile long term, but I have absolutely no issue rostering him here in this spot. And then depending on the lineup, I guess we're pretty clear on news. There was some Herter injury concerns last week, and I think he's fine. I think Herter, it doesn't feel quite as, you know, warm or fuzzy as maybe the Patty Mills spot, but I do think Kevin Herter's underpriced for what his potential role is here. Getting 30 plus minutes as a starter with the DeAndre Hunter injury, 32 and 33 minutes in two of his last three games where he didn't leave. And the shot volume has been okay. And I think a lot of his shots in this spot, especially in a pace up spot, can be from behind the arc. So Kevin Herter might be obscenely underpriced. And looking at our ownership projections, we got him about 18%, which is not top five. And I like that a lot for the context of this game. And then John Collins, Clint Capella, both these guys can crush at this price point. Clint Capella is really intriguing to me at 7K on FanDuel, 7,200 on DraftKings. This is an undersized Hornets team with a lot of block potential kind of built in. If I look at blocks per game allowed, Charlotte Hornets are top 10. So really, really good spot for extra peripherals for Clint Capella, who will likely see 15 plus rebounds here. So you really can't point to anyone on the Hawks team and I wouldn't agree with playing today. I'm definitely going to have a ton of lineups featuring the Hawks here. LaMelo Ball would be my favorite Hornets player. And then I just kind of spin the wheel, make a deal between Rozier and Hayward. And then I still love Miles Bridges and his minutes, but the 8K price point, I really need that 40 plus. So he wouldn't be as big of a lock for me as maybe Melo would. But yeah, this is a beautiful game for fantasy.
All right. For those of you interested in finding out what all of the player projections are, we've got quite a few different ways and promotions that you can get in behind the paywall here. You can get access to all of the Osmo Plus tools and content for every DFS sport. That is just $29.95 per week. If you use the promo code NBA Strategy, you will get 25% off your 1 week package. Of course, we have the NBA only package, which is $16.95 per week, or the Express package, which is $4.95 per week. We do have the Express package for all of the sports. I know a lot of people really enjoy that for the NFL. The Express package for the NFL includes all of our player projections and ownership projections for Monday, Sunday, and Thursday night football, as well as for DK tiers. And then you get the ownership rankings for the full slate and the player rankings for the full slate. So basically, they're just putting players into tiers for you. And especially if you're someone that just needs to know directionally where people are, this is perfectly fine. The one thing a lot of people lose sight of is when they use the actual ownership projections down to the true percentages, or the player projections down to the true percentages, and then they're putting a 20% randomness on it and three uniques and all of that. It's like, well, you're driving a... There's other things I could say. Throwing hot dogs somewhere. it's a family show. Just be careful with that. Once you start changing your parameters or allowing a lot of different things to happen, you're going to be able to roll an aircraft carrier through your bathtub. So just be careful on that, and know that that express package was designed explicitly for people. Well, my comments are explicit as well, but that it was designed explicitly for people that are just looking to be able to build a few lineups every night, every now and then when they got the kids in bed or they've gotten bath time over with, and they're just hanging out, trying to decompress from the day. All you want is a chance to min cash and just have a little something to watch on the TV as you fall asleep. That's perfect for all of us here. And then final thing today, last day to get 1 week of college basketball projections from Matt Gajewski for just $5. That is promo code Coach K, because who wants to spell Krzyzewski? Is there a K in Krzyzewski? That just seems really weird. Oh, yeah, there is. But I will say I've been using those the last couple of days. They've done nicely for me. Even if you're just going to dabble with those and put those into a few contests, you can easily make enough to buy an Osmo subscription with that little $5 investment. All right, let's take a peek at our next game. We have Orlando at Milwaukee. Wait for it. I've said this before. It's a back-to-back and 3-4 for both teams here. We saw Giannis carry the water again last night. That was kind of exciting. Orlando has no new injuries. The same players that have been out are still out. For Milwaukee, you've got Brooke Lopez still out with his back injury. He hasn't played since the opening night or the second game of the season. And then we have Rodney Hood dealing with a hamstring injury. Yeah, that's really not going to move the needle for his 10 minutes per game. What are you thinking about this one? Orlando has been pesky, but they're double-digit road dogs. It's a back-to-back. I just don't see them keeping this one close. However, we've seen all sorts of upsets in similar situations to this. Utah got upset at home by a shorthanded Miami squad. Denver got upset at home by a shorthanded, I forget which team beat them. It's everything's been all over the place with teams playing four games a week. Everybody's kind of tired. Everybody's kind of dinged up.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How do you want to approach this one? Because Giannis is going to be a decision point once again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Chat, give EMAC 100 likes on this video for that incredible journey. Yeah, I tell you what, if this game was on the road, I would even suspect Budenholzer to maybe sit Giannis here just because of the schedule hole. But they are 11-point favorites here at home. Bucks have been pretty decent favorites the last couple games. Early concern that maybe Giannis would be not as big of a contributor for fantasy with some big spreads and Middleton being back, but that has not been the case. You've gotten 60-plus in back-to-back games here. It's going to be a pace-down spot against the Magic, and the Magic have one of the worst offensive efficiencies in basketball. So 11-point spread will, again, make you meditate on whether or not 11.9K on DraftKings, 11.5K is really a price point that's going to extrapolate the ceiling from Giannis. But so far, so good. So until further notice, I'm going to keep putting Giannis in the player pool. He really helped me out last night when Jokic got scratched, and Giannis being center eligible was really, really a fail-safe there. But a pace-up spot here for the Magic. If we start playing, hey, how does this game stay close? Well, First of all, Cole Anthony around just under 8K on both sites. He's been a guy we've seen a few times this season break some slates with 60, but 40 plus and out the realm of possibility. And then one of the early ownership projection runs here, Jalen Suggs picked up the number two ownership at 30.9%. We'll see if that holds up. But Suggs had himself a night last night against the Harden Mills defense, 32 minutes, 18 shot attempts for 37 fantasy points. So you think about shooters keeping the game close against the Bucks the last couple seasons, we've definitely targeted long range shooters as well. And Suggs would probably be the guy that kind of fits the profile there at 3,800, right around that Kevin Herter price. So we're already seeing some paths to getting guys like Giannis with these salary relief. So I do like looking at Suggs. I wish the ownership was a little lower because Suggs has been a very volatile click throughout the season. But I guess that's more of a DK play than a FanDuel play. Wagner, Carter, and Bamba are all interesting in their own right in terms of hitting value per se at their price points. We've definitely seen each one of these guys play a role for fantasy, but I do feel like for this matchup, this might not be a great spot for the Magic, especially if you start playing from behind. Not really going to lean on Bamba as much to chuck threes as you probably want, maybe Jalen Suggs and maybe some Terrence Ross stretched out a little bit. So kind of a ugly read on the Magic side. And then on the Bucks side, like I said, if this wasn't a home game, I'd be even more skeptical about some potential rest just because of the hole in the schedule. But for me, it's really just Giannis and then probably a little bit of don't forget about Bobby Portis. And I think last night, a lot of people forgot about Bobby Portis, and he turned in a very reasonable 41 fantasy points with 13 rebounds. And I think, you know, with the size of the Magic front court, if they stay big, Portis will be out there for probably 30 minutes as well. So kind of where I'm at, give me some Giannis, give me some Portis, not really prioritizing Middleton or Drew or anything like that, unless we get some news nuggets throughout the day.
All right, three more games to go. We've got Memphis at Minnesota, one of our higher implied totals here at 219. DeAnthony Melton out for tonight with a groin injury. You have Dylan Brooks questionable to doubtful, depending on which site you're looking at. He has a sore hamstring. Memphis favored by one on the road. Minnesota back to middle of the pack with regards to their defensive efficiency. Now that we're 20% into the season, we're starting to see things normalize just a little bit here, which is helpful. They had been one of the early leaders, but we are seeing some teams maintain, like Golden State somehow. So always interesting. So we want, you know, the trend is our friend, but we also like to look at trailing data just to sort of see where things are going to land out. Other than Ja Morant, I didn't have really any exciting options here. Karl-Anthony Towns always in play. We haven't quite seen nearly, we haven't seen him reach his ceiling with nearly the frequency now that we have everybody or most everybody healthy, including D'Angelo Russell, et cetera, for Minnesota. You've got Edwards taking that next step up. You've got Beasley coming in, you know, as a third or fourth option. They're actually starting to look like a legitimate NBA team at this point, just one that doesn't play a lot of defense. What are you looking at from either side of this game? Start us off with Ja and with Carl Anthony Towns.
The Andersons got tickets to the game?
How'd they get tickets?
We go, what?
Can you say that in slow motion?
$4,600 on DraftKings. Guess what, UMAC? You mentioned Dylan Brooks being questionable. DeAnthony Melton out. That does open up Kyle Anderson, and it looks like it may not be a secret. I mentioned Jalen Suggs was number two in the ownership projections. Kyle Anderson, number one this early, 32%. Who woke up thinking it was a Kyle Anderson day? Is there, won't he do it? So, yeah, I'll get some 4,600 Kyle Anderson in my life if, you know, Brooks does miss this one. But, yeah, you mentioned Cat. Cannibalization of the big three from the T-Wolves does exist, right? There's going to be games where D-Russ spikes, Edwards spikes, Cat spikes. There's a lot of two or three. So something to keep in mind. So I usually have that reflected in my Fantasy Cruncher groupings. And then Patrick Beverley has also shown us some spike games with 30 fantasy points. Josh Okogie and Naz Reid. Keep an eye on both of those guys. I think Naz Reid didn't get ruled out till like the first quarter last game. But if you do get to both those guys out again, it gives you a little safer minutes of for Jared Vanderbilt. We've seen 24, 25, 28 minutes his last three games. Now, there is some correlation with those guys being out, but if he gets those minutes at 3,800 on DK, he does profile as a strong value play. He may not have that news by tip-off, apparently, but something to keep in mind. And then on the Grizzly side, yeah, Ja Morant, certainly a guy that is going to make this team sink or swim in the absence of Melton and potentially Brooks. And then Desmond Bain at 4,500 on DK, 4,800. Expect a lot of shots out of him. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. at 6,400 on DK. It's put up or shut up, man. This is how this Grizzlies team stays close. I'm encouraged by the 1.5 spread. The total is okay enough. You can... I would say it's a stackable game, but 10K Ja Morant doesn't mesh well with 10K Cat, so it's not as easy to get to. But behind Ja Morant, so a really cheap team against the T-Wolves here. So I do like a lot of pieces from this game. And then, like I said, just keep an eye on the news for Okogie and Reid. But I don't mind Vanderbilt if I can get that 25-plus minute projection and feel good about it.
Right. Yeah, the chat's enjoying our little witty repartee on that one there. So let's see here. We'll talk about should we do a little odd shopper here? Does that work for producer Ty? We'll have to see. But I do want to mention our sister site here, Odd Shopper, is a great source of information for sports wagering. And you can also utilize this across a variety of other DFS platforms that have turned parlays or player props into fantasy type contests. So the nice thing here is you can come in really quick. This is 100% free. If you click on Odd Shopper, that's Odds Shopper put together. So two S's, Odds Shopper. Well, that you can click on that, go to Shop NBA. And then from there, you have a whole bunch of filters. Now, this is just like shopping it online or at Amazon or what have you. So you can choose the state that you're in, or just for most of these games, you can just default to whatever. The reason it just has you picking which state you're in, like I'm in Virginia and we can do sports wagering. We just can't bet on the Virginia college teams when they're playing here. I haven't looked to see if we can do it when they're on the road, but I tried to make some wagers with Matt Gajewski and Ben Ross's picks last weekend. I think it was UCLA against Virginia, and I couldn't because the game was a Virginia team. So I was like, why can't I find this? Why can't I find this? Oh, that's probably why. But you can go on there. You can sort this by ROI, high to low. Why would you want to sort ROI by high to low? Well, you can just see where different things land, especially if you're playing some of those prop games. You want to sort it on the highest when you're putting your hard-earned dollars behind it. Or you can also sort it by win expectations. Off to the left, you can check boxes and choose different teams. You can sort by player. And then across the upper left, you can see game lines, player props, player futures, team futures. So if we click on player props here, and we go to, it's going to default into expected ROI. And let's just, for fun, let's push points, because this will be a good one. We're going to get Donovan Mitchell appearing up here at the top. So today we're going to see Osimo has him projected for 23.4 NBA points. These are coming straight out of Alex's DFS model. Of course, this model is updated by Alex and Steve Buzzard, the Colts, who you'll get to see on the deeper dive tonight. Sean's on, another multi-million dollar winner here in DFS. He oversees a lot of our projections as well. Plus, a lot of our analysts also have their own projections, and they're comparing them to what comes out of our tools. So there's just all sorts of checks and balances and backtesting going on in real time. It's fantastic. So we have Donovan Mitchell at 26.5. on the over-under. Now, the intriguing thing here is he's got a matchup tonight against the Kings, who are on a back-to-back. Osimo is saying take the under. Now, I don't know that this is a gimme. There's two reasons why. You have Davion Mitchell, who's actually a reasonably good defender for Utah. But on the flip side, this is the third time these two teams have played. And in the previous two games, Donovan Mitchell has performed quite well with, where is his points total here? I just had that up. He has averaged 31.5 points per game in this matchup. Now, the interesting thing about Mitchell is he can be very up and down with his scoring. I don't think that they're going, this game should be in hand for Utah by the fourth quarter, almost assuredly. It seems like everybody's healthy for Utah. So, and this is an island game for them. So we should see Mike Conley. We should see Rudy Gay is back. He just returned from a long layoff. He's here for year 17 of his NBA career, year 16. You've got Jordan Clarkson, who's healthy. So there's lots of scorers that are there. So I'm okay taking the under on this one. And this is why you want to think through all of these things. So even though it looks like, oh my gosh, this is a great one. But then on the, you know, then we're like, oh, but he's averaging 31 and a half, but who was healthy? Who wasn't? Oh, but there's a tough perimeter defender, but does that really matter? You need to work through all of these, but ultimately at the end of the day, I feel confident in the under for this one, because I'm sort of projecting a game script where this game is in hand and we're seeing the reserves for a large portion of the fourth quarter. How do you feel about that particular prop? Is anything popping for you in our prop models today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm full agreement with you. The matchup is so good that it's bad and vice versa. Like the fourth quarter may not be a thing and the Kings are in disarray. So I think the matchup for Mitchell's great in terms of fantasy in real life, but it's great for everyone at every position. So I could see him not having to do as much to keep his team alive here. So I would be probably walking the line on that one and maybe not betting it, but the numbers like it.
Yeah. And another thing to look at too, is we think of a lot of times we think of the fantasy mindset and we're like, oh, he gets 40 or 50 fantasy points most nights. Oh, that'd be easy for him to get like 25 NBA points. Well, I don't know. Here's his last few games for NBA points, 20, 13, 22, 26, 27, 21. So he's kind of, you know, they're in, I'm leaving out 37, 38, 28, 30, but just pointing as the team's getting healthy, as this is a very winnable game. We may not see him on the court for more than 30 minutes tonight. He may be in the upper 20s and that could curtail what he's doing here. So you always want to think about the different things that can go wrong when you're looking at the unders, because there's, you know, there's foul trouble, there's injury, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of things that keep him from getting there. If he was going to play his usual 32 minutes, yeah, he's probably going to score those points. But is he going to get those minutes tonight and everybody's healthy? So that's how we just sort of analyze these things. But we don't have to sort through lists and lists of things. We can find, hey, what are some of the better bets here by utilizing Odd Shopper? And then we can sort of say, all right, well, it looks like this. Do I believe that? Can I back it up? Is that something where I want to put my hard-earned dollars on? And then you can easily, instead of looking at just a wall of props, which is fun to stare at when you're in a sports book, not so fun when you're at home in front of your computer. So there we are. Speaking of this game, what do you got for it? We got Rudy Gay in back-to-back Remember Me games. He dropped 5 3-pointers, 20 points for his first game of the season. Yeah, really don't want to play him. I did mention I was sort of interested in Hassan Whiteside, especially on Yahoo at $10. Now, on the main slate, we do have to give up our utility spot to get him, or one of our, because we can only play two centers. We have a center slot, and we of course, have the utility slot. So that's a bit of a tough ask. However, he will be a nice differentiation option on the slate, and then I think on the later slates and on Yahoo, they'll start the slates from whenever tip-off is through the rest of the slate. So their 8 o'clock games go all the way through the rest of the slate, their 9 o'clock games go all the way through the rest of the slate, and this is one of the last two games. So Whiteside, in the two prior games against this team, against the Kings, he's averaged 23 and a third, or he's scored 23.3 Yahoo points and 28.4 Yahoo points. While he has not topped 30 fantasy points this season, that 28 and a half was his high. We do know that he's an excellent fantasy point per minute guy. Going back to what I said about Donovan Mitchell, same thing stands for Rudy Gobert. Gobert has not topped 29 minutes in any of the Jazz's wins that were 12 or more points. That leaves about 16 minutes for Whiteside, maybe the room for a little bit more. I like Whiteside. What are you seeing from either side of this game?
Yeah, Kings are struggling. And last night was really tough to watch. And I don't know. I'm not a big Lou Walton believer here. So, but I'm also not a believer in the leadership here. So I'm leaning more towards just really looking at the Jazz side. Mike Conley subs his K on both sides. 30 fantasy points is definitely within the range of outcomes there. And then Donovan Mitchell, 8,300 on a FanDuel. I soft projected him at 48 FanDuel points. I would absolutely sign up for that 8,300. Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, Rudy Gobert, all very viable plays. But Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are easily my two favorite Jazz to target just based on production, minutes, and matchup. Rudy Gobert should be able to soak up a ton of rebounds against this Kings team, a very porous rebounding team. Just a 75.1% defensive rebound rate, 22.9% on the offensive side. So plenty of boards there for Rudy Gobert. He's averaging 15 rebounds a game as it is. Yeah, I'm in on that. You mentioned Rudy Gay is back in the mix. So it does, you know, the second unit, Joe Ingles, Jordan Clarkson, Rudy Gay, there's a little bit more volatility on ranges of outcomes for those guys. So I'm not really diving too deep in this team. I think there's some really solid value elsewhere. In deep field tournaments, I probably still get a couple shares of Jordan Clarkson just because he has that slate break potential if he drops 25 real points against the Kings bench. It's no surprise there. And on the Kings side, Buddy Hield, Haliburton, Fox, and Rashawn Holmes are usually the guys I key in on. But I think in this situation, I'm probably just going to go with the two cheaper options, Hield and Haliburton, but it's probably tier three levels of exposure, not really signing up for aggressive amounts of anyone from the Kings here. They've got a weird rotation going on, and we've even seen Marvin Bagley check into some games after starting the season not in the rotation. So Walton's trying to figure it out on the fly, it feels like.
All right. Cold Bears asking, would Buddy Hield play heavy minutes in a blowout? Would Bagley? Hield generally doesn't play 30 minutes because, you know, Sacramento hates all of their players, pretty much except Haliburton and Rick Fox. Way to go there.
Whoa.
Sorry, De'Aaron. No relation. And then Bagley has only played in four games all season. He has played in, I think, three of the last four, but he's having a little, I don't know, slap fight with management over his contract and his playing time. So the management is just not trying to burnish him up into being a tradable asset. So who knows? The players I would consider for the blowout run, I think Metu is somewhat interesting. He should see upper 20s, particularly if he gets the start. He's 14 on Yahoo. I think that's okay. The front court's hard to know what's happening. Tristan Thompson has played the last couple games, but before that it was Alex Len. And then before that they were alternating every other game. One of them would DNP. Len hasn't played in a week, maybe, or 10 days. Maybe he shows up. Who knows what's going to happen here with the Kings? It's very it's hard to trust them. Now, we do have a two-game late slate here with these guys and the next game we're going to talk about. So you have to expand that player pool a little bit. I still don't think I'd get to Bagley in mine. That's just my personal take on it. And I really liked Bagley as a fantasy player the last few years. It's just a very tenuous situation with his playing time. Anything else from this game? We'll hit the last, game. We'll do a little Osmo Hall of Fame, and we will make way for the College Football Live Before Lock show with Matt Gajewski and Ben Rossa coming up right after us. Anything else on this one?
I actually don't hate getting to a little bit of Buddy Hield. I think okay. You can game script a positive environment for him, being that they play from behind. He comes in off the bench, maybe a double-digit deficit, and he has to shoot a little bit more. In two games against the Jazz, he's actually averaging 30, almost 35 fantasy points on DK. And then last night, he did play a lot of the fourth quarter with the garbage squad, right? Damian Jones, Bagley, Terrence Davis, and Davion Mitchell. So there is a world where even if it's, a blowout-induced opportunity, there is a world where he could be leading a group of who's that into battle against the backups for Utah as well. So I don't hate it. Definitely not a core play. It's just kind of a 100K to first type of spot. But I think the game script could be favorable for him in terms of large deficit chuck shots like Buddy Hield is known to do.
All right. Living with Dameron wants to know, are you going to go take a nap after this? No, he notices there's no Bang energy minutes drink in your hand.
Yeah, no, I went to sleep at 5:30. So I got about 3 hours, rolled back out. And I'll take another cat nap.
I will be taking an old guy nap today, but that will be after my show at 3 o'clock today with Shander, where we break down some player props. Will also be after I write my second article of the day and start my third. So that's my afternoon. What's your afternoon? Well, let's find out after we talk about our final game of the night, Portland hosting Philadelphia. We have an island game for Philadelphia. This is game four of a 6-game West Coast road trip for them. Portland played last Wednesday. They are off until Tuesday. That should be helpful for Damian Lillard, who has been sort of managing that core injury for quite some time. I would expect him to play. No Joel Embiid. And then one interesting prop that was out there on Odd Shopper is over under 1.5 assists for Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond, not a bad passer. If he's going to get 30 minutes tonight, he should get 2 assists. He's gotten more than 2 assists, or 2 or more assists in each of the last 3 games where he's played 30 minutes. They'll probably need him out there against Mr. Nurkic. Take us through our final game of the night.
I think the guy that sticks out the most for me still is Damian Lillard. I've been kind of just chasing this game all year. Haven't got that massive game yet. So I'm at what I call the slot machine, E-Mac, right?
You can't let Gertrude win on your machine as soon as you stand up.
That old lady is not taking. I done put too many coins in this machine to give up now. And 8,500, the risk reward is still just fine for me. And even some of these average games from him have been netting over 40 fantasy points. I'll take it. CJ McCollum, also a guy that probably hits the player pool. 7,600 on FanDuel, 7,700 on DK. He's been dueling minute-wise with Damian Lillard, dueling fantasy-wise with Damian Lillard. So I'm with that. I wish Nurkic would get more minutes because he's been so doggone good in the minutes that he has played. It's just one day he's going to fall into 30 minutes and drop 50 plus, 60 plus. And I definitely don't fear Drummond defensively. I do like Drummond as a point per minute guy from fantasy, but I think a lot is overstated on, sometimes centers that get a lot of blocks are maybe misperceived as elite defenders. And it's really just not the case. And that's kind of the case with Drummond. Tyrese Maxey, 38 minutes on him is my early projection. Now, these minutes could start trickling down to a little bit more normal numbers if Thybulle returns to the lineup. I don't know if you've got an update on that, but I had him as questionable, not officially out. If Thybulle's in the mix, it does add a wing defender back in there. I wonder if he would start. He had some starts earlier this year. We could get a funky lineup from Doc, but no matter what, I still got a deep minute allotment on Maxey, and I do like point guards against Damian Lillard. Seth Curry, revenge, right? 5K should take some shots. I think he's very volatile. It's going to be scoring dependent, but 20 plus fantasy points not out the realm of possibility. And then Tobias Harris will likely lead this team in usage and point per minute production. Not my favorite matchup, but I do think if you just bet on usage and volume of minutes, it's there for Tobias Harris. So, Not a top tier game for me. I like some of the other games more, but I'll definitely have plenty of Lillard and Tobias Maxey and even some McCollum carrying my lineup slate into the night, and maybe some more obscure shots of the supplementary plays. I'm telling you, if Nurkic got 28, 30 minutes, I'd be all about him here.
All right. I see a good question in chat. Have either of you played FanDuel single games? So two questions. One, do you mean FanDuel single game contests or FanDuel single entry? It says the ownership seems to be off. For which sport? I will say for the main slates, the player ownership is based off of the larger contests for each of the sites. So DraftKings, it focuses more on a combination of the Millie Maker, the Slant, and whatever other large field turn, like the really big ones that they have on FanDuel. It's their Sunday Million, et cetera, or the Baller. And then if it's single game NBA, that can vary wildly. It's hard to tell. We need a little bit more of a track record of what it is, and it's hard to project. Now, we usually can do it with a fair amount of accuracy when we're looking at the playoffs. When it's single game, a lot of times that can be driven by things that don't necessarily go into our projection model, especially early in the season. And this is something that they are continually working on and backtesting to find with greater accuracy. But I will say the single game stuff seems to be not for the prime time, but like the random ones on a Thursday or a Wednesday, there does seem to be a little bit more variance in that one. So that's something, but they continually are backtesting and looking at that every day. So there's constantly tweaking it. I'm sure at some point that will start to gain a lot more accuracy compared to what we're seeing for our main slates and our larger contests and our late slates, et cetera. It's just that one game player pool is really tricky to figure out. All right. So let's quickly do the Hall of Fame and then we'll hop on out of here. We good for that, producer Ty? All right, at the top, we've got Jordan Lockhart again, another $100,000 win. It is Jordan Lockhart's world. We are just living in it. Says he took down the monster. Oh, does he need 150 entries? No, he only needs three because he is on a heater to end all heaters. He says, Osmo, thank you for all your continuous input and expertise. The tools are second to none. He appreciates all of us. We have Brett coming in here. He's coming in hot with the $525 win. Ties with another Osmo avatar here. Always good to see. That's a nice little bit of pocket change there as we head into the holidays. Our next one here, we got Pickens. He's at the top with Alex Caruso, who looks a lot like Alex Baker. Funny. I wonder why no one's ever pointed that out. But he's at the top of his contest there. Again, we celebrate all wins, large or small. The key thing here is we want to have fun and we don't want to have to redeposit. That's what we do here at Osmo. Next one up, we've got Jack here. Jack has rolled up a $500 victory. He got third there in DK NHL. That's right. We do have NHL projections. By the way, those are free today. And I have played NHL for the last three seasons and change. I have not taken more than two slates off, and it is my best ROI sport across that time. We have phenomenal projections. I don't watch that much. I use our top stacks tool. I use our player ownership and I use our projections. And I lean heavily on our Discord Slack, who is constantly watching the line rushes before the game, telling us the new line combinations and telling us which goalie scratched. That information is not readily available elsewhere. Our next one here, Sean's on. Remember I said the guy who does a lot of our projections behind the scenes? Yeah, he tied for the millie here in the Monday night football contest. He says he's reached out to support there. He's still waiting for his other $950,000. They only gave him $43,000 for his $1 million victory. Keep checking back, Sean. That ticket hasn't been closed yet. And then we've got News God behind the scenes and helping with customer service and keeping us on track with all of our breaking information. He's been just hitting it hard with the props there. Has a nice one here. Another $130 win off of $10. He had a $20 into $800 the other day. He continues to have nice ones. Oh, here's a $30 one into $114. So again, he's doing that off of the Osmo Odd Shopper. We talked about that earlier in the show. Those are all free. Final thing to remind you guys is we do have the Yahoo Baller tomorrow, $200,000 of guaranteed overlay that they're putting in. If you have not yet signed up for Yahoo, go to the link right below us here. Click on that link that says Yahoo in the description of our YouTube video. That will take you over to Yahoo. Create your account off of that link. Put in $10. Yahoo's going to give you $10. And as soon as you play in a paid contest, once that contest locks, they're going to send us an email saying, hey, this person came in on your referral code, and we will send you a coupon code that will get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content. With that, we are up against the break. We have Gundacker out there on Twitter at Gundacker. I'm at EmacDFS. And of course, it is Osmo_COM. Stay tuned. Coming in on this YouTube channel, different stream, College Football Live Before Lock, Matt Gajewski and Ben Rossa. Good luck, gamers.